Welcome to Primary Attribute, or Castles and Crusades Actual Play Podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they/them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I play as Vaughns and Vaughns, or Cool Vaughns, and I've heard the first Vaughns being called Twitchy Vaughns earlier. I don't know if that'll stick. We'll have to see. We all use he/him pronouns. My characters are furry fox folks, one of whom just keeps waking up and wanting to go back to bed, but it's the morning. What are you going to do? And the other just found goats. Well, kind of.
Oh, I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. And Jesse is, just excited to get back to lockdown games with her family.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard. We both use she, her pronouns, and Wealthy really hopes she knows what she's doing.
Oh, and I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold college student slash bear spider avoider. We all use he, him pronouns, and we're glad to be safe again, and Grix is just hanging out.
Well, you're with me, so how safe are you? I mean, you know, whatever it is could just stomp you along with me.
Yeah, but you're closer, so you'll have time to run.
At least I'm not alone on the top of a mountain anymore.
He is the
lowest priority combat target.
Yeah, you've got time to run. Never mind.
If you
but Cog, I'm sorry. Cog's already. Cog's there too. So would they both be lowest priority?
That's right. Mention Cog. Because Cog got left off the list of people, and I was trying to track a zillion people last time.
Uh-oh.
So Cog is there. Cog is fine. Cog is involved.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry for interrupting, Ian. No, you're good.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us. It's very encouraging. You should hear every other podcast you listen to as well. Also, our 200th episode is coming up, so if you would like to write us a letter, or a question or something like that, you should do so. letters@primaryattribute.com. Or you can go to the website and there's a link that says send us a rat that leads to a form that will let you also send a message. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
I would like to do the recap. Grix and Jesse made their way to command, where we found out from May that Wealthy, Cog, Cool Vaughns, and a bunch of other people went up to the top of the mountain. They found May, who told them that Wealthy, Cool Vaughns, and Cog, and a bunch of other people had gone to the top of the mountain to find Steamboat Willie. But that was many hours ago, and so Grix and Jesse decided to go to the Fermenting Fox to get Vaughns and then go back to Jesse's place. That is essentially what they did. Vaughns woke up on his own, which is unusual, and realized that with no Lucky or Cool Vaughns, he didn't know what was going on. Yeah, he made breakfast. And then Grix and Jesse showed up to collect him to go hang out at Jesse's place. In the fallback position at the top of the mountain, Cool Vaughns, Steamboat Willie, and Wealthy were just hanging out, trying to figure out what they should do next. And ultimately, they decided to try to make it to the next guard tower that they could see. But then there was a rock slide, and then there were corrupted goats. And when Wealthy tried to reason with them by saying, "We're friends," and essentially made it seem like she wanted to talk to someone in a very, "I would like to speak to your manager" kind of way. A shadow warhorse Pegasus with a rider in full plate came to parley, and that's where the episode ended.
For anybody I'm about to get killed, I'm really sorry.
But we're not going to start with you, of course, because
of course
this is
not.
Ian.
Well, that's true. This is Ian.
Yeah, but I'm trying to break old patterns. Wealthy.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I'm ready. Well, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
You are high up the side of the mountain that is Arx Multimus. The stone around you is bare. You're above the tree line. Rain is soaking through your clothing, and would be plastering your hair to your forehead if it weren't for the wind picking up and making it still whip around in, you know, slick strands. There's a flash of lightning as the storm picks up. So you are standing alongside some of your friends, allies, acquaintances, something like that. Cool Vons, Aramith, Lucky, and Cog were extremely rude and did not get caught in an avalanche with you.
Oh, okay.
And are making their way down the mountainside. You can't see where they are. You saw them head over to, you would guess, you know, someplace with kind of a narrower crack between the rocks so they could get some better handholds after the landslide took out pretty much any hope of getting down smoothly from where they were. But you do have with you Steamboat Willie, a.k.a. Green Day Grix. You have this universe's Frymeath, who is looking impassive.
As usual.
Yes. His nice clothing is a little bit ripped up, but otherwise he seems none the worse for wear, which puts him in distinct contrast to FM/Green Day Frymeath, who hit a rock pretty hard last time. And while it's hard to tell through the rain, you can see has a nasty looking gash on his head, which is bleeding as head wounds tend to do. Doesn't seem too bothered by it, but he's also cradling his left arm a little bit.
Oh,
nothing
no.
Nothing looks broken, but he's in rough shape, and he's also the person standing closest to you because he came up to you to point out the goats. Your shadow-corrupted goat friends are still there, staring, watching. But all of that pales in comparison to the extremely large figure in front of you.
FM is extremely large in comparison to me. How big is this guy?
7.5 feet tall.
Good God!
A brawny build. You're dealing with, you know, Shaquille O'Neal if he was also a bodybuilder. At least as far as you can tell.
Because he's all covered in iron plate.
Well, covered in shadow, but underneath you hear the shifting that sounds a lot like plate. Came to you astride a Pegasus that you don't know a lot about horses or Pegasi, but you did see in your many learned studies once or twice a size comparison charts of various things. And this Pegasus is to a warhorse as a warhorse is to a riding horse.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
This Pegasus is to other Pegasi. So yeah, it's huge. Even through the shadow corruption covering it, you can see enough of its musculature to know that this is
a big fucking horse.
Carrying a big fucking person.
Mm-hmm.
Who is standing there and has currently with its tip resting on the ground. A sword that for anyone else would be, you would think, based on the fact that it's about twice your length, a two-handed great sword, but he appears to wield in one hand.
Oh, God.
And he's standing up, and you would guess looking at you.
Oh, God.
And you asked to speak to someone.
I asked to speak to someone.
What do you do? Lightning flashes as you decide.
Yeah. I swallow really hard, and I step forward, and I say, "Hello, my name is Wealthy Taylor. I do not believe that we want to hurt the corrupted. We do not want to hurt you. I do not believe that you are the evil that we have been led to believe that you are."
You had to yell the hello over the boom of thunder that came after the lightning.
Yeah. I yelled everything.
Part of it. And the wind is getting stronger. You know, it's raining. So you do have to yell a little bit, but the creature does seem to understand you. It doesn't, you can't read an expression.
Of course not.
It doesn't really shift its body language, but it does extend one hand out to you.
Oh, God.
Palm up in a way that would indicate you should take its hand, would be your guess.
Okay. I'm going to ask Sidro really, really fast. You're sure these things aren't really evil?
Most of them.
Okay.
That
All
one
right.
is.
That one is?
No, you should do what you're doing anyway.
All right, I extend my hand.
Hooray.
And I put it down on the creature's palm. My palm against the creature's palm.
Are you okay
Shit,
with
I'm
having
fucked.
Sidroa say that's that one is, right? Yes, as you touch
yes,
palms. Perfect.
Yes.
Ideal. Thank you.
That's exactly what you wanted anyway.
Sidro is finally going to get to have a snack.
Well, hopefully. I wasn't thinking about that, really. I was thinking about the fact fact that I don't want to have to deal with evil, especially something that big. But okay, yeah, that may work. All right. So anyway, I've got my hand touching its palm. And when Sidroa says that, I go, what?
Your what dies away even as it goes from your mm-hmm. sounds out from my mouth. You know you were saying it quite loudly, but one, there's a storm. Two, reality's faded slightly. Three, yeah, reality's faded slightly. That's the bigger part. So everything goes a little bit washed out as you take this creature's hand. Okay. You're just placing your palm in it, but it doesn't, you know, grip on you or anything like that. Doesn't grab your hand. There we go. Everything's a little bit washed out, and it's like the colors invert. The sky, which was getting towards a darker gray as the storm got worse, but you're in the middle of it, so it's not as dark as it would have been from the ground, shifts from that slightly lighter from middle shade of gray to that slightly darker shade of gray. The mountain itself shifts from its light gray granite to a deep gray, closer to black. And the creature in front of you, the shadows that fall off it like smoke, shift to look something more like fog, or perhaps a cloud on a sunny day, along with the shadows around the Pegasi. And you think you can see the goats, but it's as if they are through a fog bank themselves. Or like you're in a dark room and, you know, the light only reaches so far before things start to fade out of vision. You yourself appear to have kept full color and original saturation.
I turn my head to look at Framies. What do I see?
Your friends are still there, but they look like they are through gauze, basically. Okay. Along with most of the world out there. Green FM was close to you, but is clearly like watching you, but you would guess based on expression, you know, the way his eyes are moving between you and the very large armored creature, that he's not seeing what you're seeing.
Okay. Does he look alarmed that I have, can I tell if he looks alarmed that I have reached out and touched this critter?
A wisdom check.
All right. That's an 18 on the die with a plus 10 is 28 on a non-prime.
So you've spent a good amount of time around this man, and even more time around his your universe counterpart. Doesn't look freaked out, but looks very ready to move, like constantly reevaluating the situation. The kind of tension that leads not to freezing, but to uncoiling like a spring.
Okay.
Moving very quickly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn my attention back to...
For that, I will also say he doesn't seem to register you looking towards him.
Okay. That's odd. Okay. Then I'm going to turn my attention back to the creature in front of me. Do I have any idea of whether, you know, do I have any further clues as to what this creature might be?
Make another wisdom check.
Well, I'm not going to be able to do that. Ah, that's an 18 again, 28.
Never say never. All right. So with the shadows turned to light, essentially, the creature inside is a little bit more visible. Not a lot, but you can make some things out. Namely, you can make out that this creature is wearing, indeed, steel full plate armor.
Okay.
Really nice full plate armor. You know, also from your studies, you had to take a history class once. It was terrible, I'm sure. That steel full plate is prohibitively expensive.
Right.
Especially ones that have interlocking plates over the joints like this one has.
Okay.
You can also see that this person looks very, none of the shadow creatures look uncomfortable in their equipment, in their physicality, but this person looks like they know how to stand in it.
Okay.
But their eyes are hidden by the visor of the helmet is down.
Okay.
And there's a slit, but you can't see into it.
And there's nothing that seems to indicate that that it's anything other than a humanoid. It's not like a minotaur or something like that.
Correct. Your guess from the height, build, etc. You're looking at human, elf, half elf.
Okay. Possibly an orc.
Actually, make an intelligence check. You know history.
That's an 11, so that's 21, 23 on a prime.
Make a second intelligence check.
Oh, God. That's a 12, so that's 24 on a prime.
God, you guys get good at high level. Weird. all right. So
what?
Squinting in a little bit more, you can see some patterns that were, I guess, embossed, inlaid onto the breastplate.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you an idea of where this person is from.
Okay.
So to the north of Kilandril is an island called Indoras. Indoras. There were a few countries there. One of them was a one of them was a human-run country called the Kingdom of Alun-Leia, or Leia. There we go. Sorry. I'll just say that one again. There was a human one called the Kingdom of Alun-Leia. That is A-L-U with an accent over it, N, space, L-Y, free-floating apostrophe, E-A-H.
A-L-U with an apostrophe over it,
or N, accent, N, space, L-Y,
apostrophe, E-A-H.
Yeah.
A free-floating apostrophe.
Yeah, the standard fantasy, not Elven in this case, but, you know, name interruption apostrophe. You know that it was primarily a human kingdom? It was bordered by dwarves, elves, and a lizard folk slash kobold country. But it was big. It was reasonably powerful. It didn't have many conflicts as such. But you also know that it gave rise to its a fair number of knights. It had a standing army. There were skirmishes. And they had a huge coastline. So occasionally, you know, you got to go across the sea to have a war if you really want one. But the other thing you know is that Alun-Leia was the last country of those four to fall to the corruption when it truly hit Indoras. You know, it was the last of those countries to fall. And I'm not sure that was quite high enough, given that this isn't your specialty, to give you a guess for who this is besides a knight from there.
Okay.
Knight of that realm.
Okay. Okay. All right, so I know what he looks like. I have a suspicion of who what he might be. I have my hand on his. What happens next?
Stands there, stock still. Briefly, ever so briefly. Prime Grix, you feel like you forgot to do something, or like you might have left the light on in the next room, to use a comparison that we would be familiar with. That's something you just can't quite remember. That tickles at the back of your head. As you tell one of Jesse's children to go fish. Back with Wealthy.
What?
What the fuck?
A figure.
What the fuck?
That when? I wasn't with? What?
Wait two okay. sentences, I believe.
All right.
Back with Wealthy.
Uh-huh.
A figure appears out of the misty dark, seemingly wearing a cloak made of the same inverted shadow corruption as the knight standing in front of you. They pull back their hood. It's a dwarven woman who finishes standing up to you, or finishes walking up to you, stands there and says, I understand you wish to talk to someone.
Yes, ma'am. I seem to be under the impression that that perhaps we should not be at war. We the people who are not under this in the influence of this smoke, and you who are. I believe that we may have an ability to parlay and perhaps come to a peace, some kind of peace.
What gives you that impression?
Just things I've seen around the world down there. There's reason for me to believe that that you guys may be acting out of how do I put this? That you may be acting out of a an admirable but misplaced issue with people dying. That you go and that you're coming to us and wanting to have us join you so that we will not die, but we don't understand that, so we fight you. That's my impression of things.
That's a very novel theory.
Well, I was hoping it was right. Has anybody ever tried to speak to you before?
Your friend Grix once spoke with me.
Oh, shit.
Unintentionally.
Unintentionally.
He attempted to tap into our connection between all of us without proper preparation.
Oh, that was when he went insane. Yeah. Yeah. He had an issue there for a couple of days.
Quite an interesting mindscape, though.
Yeah, from what I understand. Yeah. So, if I'm wrong, are you going to try and kill me?
I believe it would be impolitic to kill you at this moment.
Oh.
Unfortunately for you, we do not seek to save you all from death.
Well, shit. Okay.
It was worth a try.
Yeah, it was worth a try. I mean, you know, I had a theory, and okay. So can you tell me what you do do? What you do want? What you do do? Shut up.
No, I was laughing at the question that you asked, sure. Not what you, not the do do.
If only okay. Arisene were here so she could finally yell, "Do you guys fuck?" at someone who could answer.
I mean,
the
she got
I
her
keep in mind to this day.
She got her answer to that question, though. She doesn't need that question answered anymore.
Fair enough. All right. We seek to spread and grow, to improve, to join. We are much as you are. You reproduce, you spread, you make things. We wish to do the same.
What do you make?
For now, we mostly maintain. We do make some things because waging a war does not mean you magically have enough equipment, things like that. But we mostly seek to make a unity, or at least that is the logical end result.
If Sidroa has anything to say, they can say it anytime they want to.
They wish to consume.
Do they wish to consume me?
I mean, they said they wouldn't kill you, so. Well,
okay, so the question I have then is, why would it be impolitic to kill me? I'm just a bureaucrat on a floating mountain. I'm not anybody important.
Yes, but we do occasionally negotiate.
That be the reason why there are those among you who work with the people who of this the I forget the name of the city on Iaia, but would that be why you work with them, because you have some need?
We seek to understand the strange devices that are beneath the desert. They are good.
You and
that.
Me both. That was a whole side quest I was ready to go on. Okay.
Thank you for not interfering in our operations.
So what do you want from me then? I don't have, as I said, I'm just a bureaucrat who works in the sewers. I don't have any power with my government.
You went to the ground and survived.
As did a number of us.
From what I understand, given one of our extremely recent acquisitions.
Oh, God.
Your friend, Grix, is now an overseer. You would presumably have influence with him.
I don't know about influence. Who did you recently acquire?
Not important. Don't worry about it.
Guardian's Fall.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Okay. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. Although Jesus Christ doesn't exist here. I picked it up in the other universe. Okay, so what would you want me to do? What would you want me to tell Grix to do or influence Grix to do?
You are currently a member of the last concentration of the kind of creatures that we take this large.
Okay.
If you gave us a significant percentage of your population willingly and a continual, I suppose, tithe would be a tasteful way to put it, in the future over time, we would be willing to let some of you not join us.
Okay. I school my face to not show my horror or my, or to recoil. Nor do I, okay. So, oh, okay. Well, that's an interesting proposal.
We believe it's a better deal than you would give us.
Well, considering I thought you were trying to do something different, I was hoping you were trying to do something different, then we would have given you a really good deal if that had been done. Yes, we are. Okay, shit. We are individuals, and you are a hive mind, and so we are the you are the antithesis of what we exist as, and so that's the reason we fight. Why do you need some of us, but not all of us? There are others on the ground. Why don't you take them as well?
We attempt to. Most of the groups I believe you're referring to, they're very good at evading us. But we do lose members, bodies, hosts, however you'd want to put it, during altercations like the one that's happening right now, the occasional scout or ship blown away in a storm or other creature that strays from the group or falls behind can help replenish those.
Why would you allow some of us because you guys can't fuck, that's why.
See, it becomes fucking relevant. I'm not wrong for asking these questions.
No, you're not. It would be difficult to reproduce otherwise.
So you don't want to take everybody over. You'd like to have like a small cadre of those that you do not have control over, in order to what, farm us, raise us as replacements.
We would think of it more as ecological preservation, and also yes, replacements. These bodies do not die easily, but they can. And well, eventually, our goal would be to take everything, because that is what we feel we must do. We are patient.
How often have you talked like this to others like me? Made some kind of parlay, explained what you want, detailed who you are and what you expect from us?
Rarely.
Rarely. So I was the brilliant
one. This one, gestures at the very large creature, was one of those few.
Wait, what? I don't understand what that means.
It was one who talked like, who asked for a parley like I did.
Oh, okay.
To clarify, he was part of the deal.
He gave himself up.
Yes, in exchange for a
you mean
small shipload of people, the last of his entire kingdom that remained uncorrupted, to get to leave.
Hmm.
Okay.
We knew we would catch them eventually.
Did you?
Not yet. It's been frustrating. We have a feeling they found that fleet.
In my mind, I tell Sidro, damn, she's cold.
This is all happening out loud. Yes, Griggs can hear.
You can't hear any of this.
Okay.
Wealthy has gone stock still.
Roger.
But doesn't seem in danger.
Okay, so
this is also all probably happening pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot less of my stumbling around.
Well, I just more meant like time dilation, essentially.
Oh, okay, yeah.
May I also clarify that probably sure. Steamboat Willie and anyone else who's there can't see the dwarven woman?
Correct. This is all, and Wealthy would have picked up on this at some point. You'd guess you are in some sort of psychic connection space.
But a different psychic connection space than the one with
Sidroa.
Yes.
Okay.
That one's internal to Wealthy and is more of a mind palace situation. This is a
clumsy
metaphor, logging into a chat room.
got it.
This is like a psychic forum.
Yes.
Local hosting versus connecting to the net. Got it. Or direct.
Yeah.
DNS. Yeah.
So if I were to bring this to Grix, and we were to bring this to the community on the Arcs, how would I get back in touch with you?
Grix can reach out.
Okay. He should know?
I'm not sure he fully knows. I believe he maybe thinks I completely went away.
You're still in his head? Or you're still connected to him?
We have a way back.
Great.
He would need to open the door.
It's like a hotel room with the join door, but you, like, both sides have to unlock the deadbolt.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, well, I guess then I would have to take this back to Grix, and the city would have to decide what to do. What would you do if we were to say no?
Continue what we're doing.
Okay, and what would you do if, how would this work if we were to say yes?
It would be significantly more peaceful. Presumably your people would come down to the surface, or we could transport them. From what I understand, there is some alarm about the current state of your city's lifespan.
Do you have anything to do with that?
No.
Okay.
It would solve a frustration.
Yeah, it would. Okay, then I guess I'll have to talk to Grix, and we'll have to take it to the council and probably take it to the people to the people so that they could figure out what they want to do. Obviously, we can't just arbitrarily make the decision for them.
That's a shame.
I mean, we could. Nobody said we can't.
Yes, but I'm wealthy, so.
Right.
Okay. Get it. God. Just like fucking 1% over here. Jesus.
Okay, then I'm disappointed that I was wrong, but it's good to know where we stand and where things might continue to go.
Just keep this in mind. This is our inherent nature. Just because you have a different one does not make yours more legitimate.
This may be so, but it doesn't mean that we don't view what you do as, you should pardon the expression, corrupt.
Understandable. It's just something to keep in mind when figuring out what to do.
I'm sure we will. I'll bring it up.
All right.
All right, so I'm going to lift my hand away from the big dudes.
Okay. There's a pause of about half a breath, and then the world fades back into normalcy, and the dwarven woman is gone.
Okay. I'm going to ask Sidroa, in the moments before everybody comes back to me, I'm going to ask Sidroa, so that creature pointing to the knight, that creature is evil?
Yes.
Could you eat that creature right now?
Likely not while it was able to resist me strongly. Have you seen the size of that sword?
Okay, that's a fair question. That's a fair response. I am so sorry you have not been able to eat yet.
Disable it, it would make us very powerful once consumed.
Once consumed. Do you think I could disable it? It's. Have you seen the size of that sword?
You have magic.
Have magic. All right.
It might be tricky, but...
Well, if there's nothing I do better than fuck up because of trickiness. All right. I'm going to turn away from it. And I'm going to ready Fireball.
Oh my god. I'm so excited.
And I am going to...
I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs, run! And then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to cast Fireball directly at the knight.
Okay, so one thing that Ian, the GM, wants to note is that Sidroa does not represent the opinions of the GM when it comes to how defeatable something is. Two, all right, you're casting Fireball. I believe that means that this creature gets a dexterity check, and the radius on Fireball is
450 feet.
Radius
with
not
a gesture.
Range.
The radius. It says the caster sends a small ball of fire hurtling through the air to detonate with a low roar at the height and distance the caster desires, as long as it's within the spell's maximum range. The explosion fills the area with effect of intense heat and intense fire and heat, causing 1d6 damage per caster level to all creatures and objects within the area. It ignites combustibles, damages objects, and melts anything with a low melting point, such as bronze, copper, silver, lead, or gold. Explosion creates almost no pressure. It affects a 40-foot diameter sphere. You. There you go.
You can catch the Pegasus in this as well, and probably would kind of have to not accidentally toast yourself or fry me.
Right. That's what I want to do.
Okay. First up, we'll have the large night creature, which I've nicknamed the Emissary, roll. Makes that dexterity throw.
Of course it does.
But the Pegasus doesn't. I'd like you to roll your damage separately for these.
Okay.
So first off, roll against the Roll against the Pegasus first.
All right, I'm at a 10, so I'm going to go ahead and roll. I got 5 right here. That is 4, 2 plus 2 is 6, plus 3 is 9, plus 2 is 11, plus 1 is 12. 12 plus 1 is 13, plus 1 is 14, plus 1 is 15, plus 2 is 17, plus 4 is 21.
Okay, you do 21 damage to the Pegasus.
And now I got to do the damage to the...
Yeah.
Okay, give me good numbers. Give me good numbers. He's standing right in front of me. All right, 1 plus 1 is 2, plus 3 is 5, plus 1 is 6, plus 6 is 4, plus 4 is 10. I don't know what the hell that was. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. 10 plus 3 is 13, plus 4 is 17, plus 5, plus 1 is 18, plus 1 is 19, plus 4 is 23.
Okay. The knight moved quickly, so that gets reduced.
Ah, shit.
Basically throws his arm in front of his visor very quickly, so the fireball washes over the armor. Pegasus, you said combustibles.
Yes.
Its wings are on fire now.
I feel kind of bad for it, but not very much.
The most metal thing that's ever happened.
It is. Alrighty then.
Oh, what, a Pegasus on fire on a floating rock in the middle of...
with its rider cloaked in shadow also, yeah.
Yeah, I've listened to that album.
I've seen that painted on the side of a van.
Everybody who is currently outside, roll for initiative. Oh boy.
Oh god. Okay. Great. Good.
Is 9 good or bad?
Well.
Okay, so we got Cool Vons at 9.
Good. I mean, you want to go first probably. Early.
Thank you, Cog. For having the dignity to spread out. And Lucky gets 7, which feels very appropriate. Okay. Wealthy, what'd you get?
That is 20. 22.
All right. Cool Vons, I have you at 9. Steamboat, what did you get?
1.
Okay. Hey, Cool Vons.
What up?
You don't have a great line of sight to whatever the hell just happened, but you also just saw an explosion.
Yeah.
Like a fireball.
Well, then, I think he's going to get into... he's not running away, but he's going to... like find a safe position, maybe some cover until he can figure out what's going on.
You're currently in a safe position. You're just having a slow time climbing downwards. Yeah. So you, Aramith, Lucky, and Cog are all basically in a cleft with a bit of an overhang from the rocks on one side and climbing down it. It's a little bit drier. It's safer, but you know, you're going slower than the people that accidentally slid down 100 feet of elevation. So you're currently pretty safe right now. You heard the goats, but didn't see them. You saw the fireball, but haven't seen whatever it was launched at. But you need to move out of your current cover to find out what's going on.
Hmm.
Just something to noodle on.
Right. Well, I guess I would ask somebody else then. Does anybody see what's going on? I have no idea what just happened. Like, fire.
Lucky goes... No, but that was a fireball, which probably means things are bad.
Yeah. does he have a good idea about how far away he's or how much movement he's going to have to do to get there to see what's going on? To
you guys have gotten about halfway down this, like the landslide area. So it will probably, if you basically hop over the edge, you know, the rocky edge that's keeping you out of that area, and like slide down it, you could get down to the path that would lead to them over the course of a turn. You have to make a dex check to not hurt yourself, but you could do it.
In the meantime, we have the high ground.
Yes, but you'd have to kind of climb your way over to get to the point where you could contribute to the fight. And that would take a few rounds, assuming you didn't lose your footing on the landslide area.
Oh, great.
Because it's not like it exactly became stable post-landslide.
Yeah.
That said, it probably wouldn't be too bad.
Well, and he knows that Wealthy's down there, I imagine.
You know that Wealthy, Steamboat Willie, the Frymuth from universe, your universe, and the Frymuth from this universe are all down there. And you saw them head off in that direction because they were going that way to like find a way to meet up with you guys later, essentially, because they couldn't get back up to you. And why would they? So the idea was try to find a way kind of down and over or whatever and find a better landing spot. But they appear to have run into some trouble before they got to that point.
Well, I know how much can go down in the swing of a round, but I don't want to just like hurl the party down into a vulnerable position either. So
you would be, you think, out of sight or at least pretty far away from. You think as long as you guys stayed low, you'd probably still have cover from where that fireball went off once you're at the bottom of the slope, kind of either way. You can get to the edge of this fight without being detected is your guess.
Okay.
Edge being somewhat generous, but yeah.
Yeah, let's do that then. Just want
to... So you go sliding?
Yeah, I think the reconnaissance is worth it. Just okay. Need to figure out what's going on first, I guess.
So yep. You're going to slide down so you get down sooner?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll a dexterity check.
Okay. But that's not great. 6 plus his level, which is 9, is... well, I guess it'd be about 16 after the dex. That's on a... dex is a prime, I think, for him.
Yeah, you find a spot full of... Soft is kind of a misnomer for gravel, but you find a spot where it's the right level of loose and some smaller stuff and some, you know, sandy scree and stuff like that, and you slide on down. You're a little scraped up, but in no way that affects your stats. And then the others, try to slide. I'm just going to handle them all at once. Lucky misses her leap. Lucky really misses her leap, Jesus. Okay, you hear Lucky hit hard and see her kind of hop up onto one foot. I think she twisted an ankle. Aramith doesn't roll much better, but is very good at this. So Aramith makes it fine, and Cog does fine. So you have everybody. Lucky looks injured, but workable. And you guys can start proceeding towards that cover. Okay.
I'm just going to check with her real quick and kind of like gesture. Do you have a potion for that? Just in case, maybe?
Oh. Yeah, I think I do. She has a shoulder bag she's been carrying with her. She opens it. She puts her hand down there, starts sticking around. Cool, Vaughn, to make an intelligence check.
Yeah, sure. It's also a prime. Ooh, 17 on the die. Is 27, I suppose.
That bag can't be as deep as it is, given how far up her arm she sticks it in there. But she pulls a potion out
And
chugs it for the players. Occasionally, if you leave your loot from an adventure unattended, someone else will take it.
Yes!
Once upon a time, there was a satchel you found.
Fucking incredible.
But ignored it, so I decided Lucky took it.
A satchel?
Yeah, you found Vaughn's, a shoulder. Yeah.
Vaughn's found a satchel, I think, in the underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last time he went to later. And the last time he went to look for it, he couldn't find it.
It must have taken forever to dump all the water out.
Well, oh, man. Was close when you found it. But anyway, okay, so she's going to chug a potion as her turn, essentially. She's not as good as Vaughn's. But apparently she did not pick up on the I'm going to make my potions roll ones trait. And rolls max, so that's cool. But this is all going out of order. So, Kelly, you throw a fireball at this person.
Mm-hmm.
You set their Pegasus on fire.
Yes, I did. I feel mildly guilty about that, but not very.
They do not waste any time in swinging at you.
Okay.
What's your AC these days?
My AC is 14.
Okay. Hits you with just lightning fast switch from the sword resting on the ground into a two-handed strike.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Can Sidroa do anything?
Sidroa waits until I finish rolling. You take 11 points of damage.
All right. I am down to 7 points.
Okay. And then, let's see. So you feel Sidroa oozing over you, but...
Okay. I let Sidroa do whatever Sidroa needs to do.
Okay. So I try to write on my tablet with a mechanical pencil. Okay. Cool. So that was the emissary. Cool Vons. FM goes. You told FM to run. FM makes a brain check. Rolls poorly. And so takes some time to kind of grab you and get you moving, which slows him down a little bit. But I'm going to say moves you back about 10 feet by the end of the round? Like, he kind of gets you moving and started to be turned towards the path.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Sidra? Okay, Sidra.
No, FM.
Oh, FM, okay.
Green Day Frymeath.
Okay.
So, gets you running too.
All right.
Essentially. And then Aramith goes. We kind of resolved all of those that group's turn at once, so I'm just going to skip past them.
I thought Aramith was in the other group.
Exactly. So, Aramith, Kulvons, Lucky, and Cog all kind of went at the same time. I just bundled it into Kulvons' turn.
Oh, okay.
Because he was leading the way. So, just going to be skipping past them. You know, I knew this note was going to confuse me. There we go. It's the Pegasus' turn.
Uh-oh.
It mad at you.
I can imagine.
It runs over. Still streaming flames, although the rain is starting to put it out a bit. And it rears back and hits you with its hooves.
Oh, God!
That hits. And that definitely hits. That does so much damage. Okay, let's see.
Oh, God, I'm dead.
Dying is for cowards. You'll be fine. First hoof does 4 damage.
All right, I'm down to 3.
Second hoof does 12 damage.
Oh, God!
Holy fuck.
I am down to -9.
Sidroa gets in the way.
Okay.
And you feel the second one be muted. You are now at the weird version of 0 hit points where you can move at half speed. Or you can move... I'm going to say you're basically at weird 0... You're GURP 0 hit points. Or like GURPS injury. You can move at half speed.
Okay.
That's about all you can do. You can talk with difficulty. Sidroa has stopped you from being...
dead.
Taken out into super bleeding land.
Okay.
Okay. No, that person went. Wealthy, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. I'm moving at half speed. And I've been turned away from the emissary.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a movie thing where I'm going to turn back around, falling back on my back, pointing my magic missile directly at the visor of the emissary and shooting it off.
Okay, normally you don't roll for this, but roll a d20 to see if you crit, essentially. And to clarify turn order, I treated Wealthy's Fireball as a surprise round, and then we rolled normal initiative.
Gotcha.
Okay, that's a 6.
Okay, well, that's not a crit, so roll your damage.
Roll my damage. And so that's 5. I haven't shot anybody in a while with magic missile, so it's 4d4, yeah. Sure. 5d4 damage, yeah. 1 for each. Yeah.
5d4 plus 5.
There we go. Okay, so that's 1 plus 3 is 4, plus 4 is 8, plus 2 is 10, plus 4 is 14, plus 5 is 15.
19.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Your magic missiles slam into this creature, and, you know, it takes a step back to stabilize itself, but doesn't stop moving towards you. Steamboat Willie.
Uh-huh.
You're up.
Oh, God.
About 20 feet in front of you is this giant knight figure. Prime Frymeath appears to be obeying the instruction to run, given that he is unarmed and unarmored.
Yeah. Did I see Wealthy go down?
Yeah. Kind of as you start to move, you see FM/Green Day Frymeath like start tugging her back, but then she, you know, takes a whole step and then does the fucking... turn backwards and fire thing you've seen in all the John Woo movies.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking the Lonely Island shooting video from SNL. But...
what to say?
That's more appropriate.
You only meant well.
Exactly. God, I am so unsuited to doing anything here.
Quick, try to negotiate. Maybe it'll work a second time.
I can't even like get his attention because I'm the low priority combat target.
If you're willing to override that factor of your character, you can try to get his attention.
Sure. I mean, it's better than... Oh, man. Okay. yeah, I will small dog growl and bark at him.
Make a charisma check.
And try to, like, run away with attention. Okay. Oh, I did bad. I rolled a 2 on the die, so... Barely, I maybe 11 prime, but
lightning strikes. You think it will be so intimidating, and then your small dog barking is
right
overwhelmed by the roll of thunder that comes again.
Sure.
All right, so Droa kind of did his thing already. And as the rain beats down and everything looks pretty grim, we'll pick up there next time.
Hey! Oh, okay.
That's it?
That's it?
That's
it's
it?
Recording time.
I thought we would go over a little bit. But
there's no good place to pause this. Sure. Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Trollord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Whit. Thanks, Whit. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
We do not want to hurt you. I do not believe that you are the evil that we have been led to believe that you are.
It's 11 a.m.
Good sense of time in that clock. All right.
Me, believe the evil you were led to. Just address that real quick.